This is DW News live from Berlin. Germany's conservatives pull out all the stops to catch up to the Social Democrats on the last day of election campaigning. Angela Merkel takes to the rally stage with Armin Laschet, her would-be successor. But Olaf Scholz and the SPD hang on to their narrow lead in what looks to be a nail-biter of a vote. Also on the show, a diplomatic spat draws to a close. A Chinese Huawei executive leaves Canada after 3 years under house arrest. Shortly after, two Canadians detained by Beijing on spying charges are also released. I'm Michael Oku, welcome. Germans are getting ready to elect a new parliament on Sunday. The vote will also determine who will replace Angela Merkel after 16 years as chancellor. Merkel has been in the western German city of Aachen to support her CDU chancellor candidate, Armin Laschet. The conservatives hoping her presence will give his campaign a last-minute boost. Opinion polls show Laschet in a tight race just behind the center-left Social Democrats and Olaf Scholz. Both men are still comfortably ahead of the Greens candidate Annalena Baerbock. Here's some of Merkel's final endorsement of CDU candidate Armin Laschet before voters head to the polls.
And Armin Laschet.
Armin Laschet is someone who can build bridges, who can include people and create cohesion, no matter what their differences. Throughout his political life, that's something he's proved to us he can do, not just in theory, but with real heart and passion.
In the studio with me is our correspondent, Benjamin Alvarez-Grumer. Benjamin, welcome to the set here. This is shaping to be a very tight race with large numbers of people still undecided. Why do you think that is?
That's right, Michael. I think we have several reasons there. On one side, it's the end of an era. 16 years of Angela Merkel. There are a lot, especially of young voters, who don't know politics without Angela Merkel being the head of government. So that's definitely one reason. The other one is that we have another big player here. It's not only the conservative bloc, so CDU, CSU and the Social Democrats, but also the Greens, who have played and who are still playing an important role, even if Annalena Baerbock, as polls are suggesting, won't win against Olaf Scholz and Armin Laschet. The Greens will definitely play a role also in government. And the third thing is, of course, when it comes to coalitions, that many voters who are undecided don't know, as there are so many options now, which coalitions the winner could go in with, that some still don't know where to vote.
Well, you mentioned Armin Laschet. He's, of course, Merkel's would-be successor. He has been struggling in the polls a little bit, even despite the fact that Germans tend to reward stability. Why is that the case? Why has he been unable to connect with German voters?
That's right. He has been unable to connect, and there have been several mistakes during this past month. So we have seen some situations, for example, when it came to the floods, the deadly floods in Germany, where he was criticized for his response. He was in laughing, standing behind the federal president, Frank-Walter Steinmeier. There were also some responses and answers that were criticized heavily. And that's interesting why Angela Merkel is also trying this last-minute bit to still help him when it comes to the voting intention. She pledged and she tried to stay out of this race, but with the chance of the conservative bloc not even making it into government, she said this is the time and we really need to help them. But even if you look at, for example, in the last days where Armin Laschet was with the CSU, so the Bavarian sister party of the conservatives, and some people still said that Markus Söder, who was one of the also possible candidates of the conservative bloc, still would make a better chancellor candidate. So that's really interesting to see. Of course, Armin Laschet is also trying to push this continuity that you said the Germans really like. But let's see if that makes a difference in tomorrow's vote.
Remind our viewers, what are the main issues in this election that could, in fact, ultimately decide this vote?
So the biggest issues are the climate crisis on one side. We saw this massive protest yesterday also with Greta Thunberg in front of the German parliament. Of course, the COVID-19 pandemic and the economic recovery. So those are three big, big topics that will definitely make it into tomorrow's vote and also will influence the election. But what's very interesting when we look, for example, at the climate crisis, it's very important to notice what the difference is, the generational difference in this country. For example, people that are eligible to vote, so voters in Germany under 30, and I'm included in this group, are less than 15%. And when you look, people that are 50 years old or older, that's more than half of the voters here. So Germans really like continuity, and that's also what Merkel is trying to show and what Armin Laschet and even Olaf Scholz, you know, he presents his campaign as a very, like, Merkel-esque way, if you can put it like that. Mm. And so it's interesting that basically the old people in this country will define also who will be the next chancellor candidate. And that's, of course, also very interesting to note.
Thank you so much. That's DW correspondent Benjamin Alvarez Gruber. Really appreciate it. One group that won't have a say in Sunday's election is foreigners who live here in Germany but don't have German passports. For them, there's a new project allowing them to symbolically cast their vote. And for those immigrants who've recently become German citizens, this election marks the first time they've been able to participate for real.
Finally, the letter has arrived. Bakri El Haj has decided to vote by mail. He got his German passport 3 years ago and will be able to vote for the first time this year. It's a great victory for me to be able to vote, that my vote finally counts. I'm very happy. But it also brings with it the responsibility of deciding which party and which candidate I should vote for. But his first German election process doesn't seem all that easy. As you can see, there's a lot of paperwork. I really have to sit down and look at it all carefully. I have to really concentrate to understand which party belongs to which paper and how it all works. But there are around 11 million people living in Germany who are not eligible to vote, like Khaled Al-Jamiel. He fled to Berlin from Syria in 2015 and is training to become an IT specialist. Even without a German passport, he's keen to participate, so he took to social media to cast his vote anyway. There's an initiative called Whole Elected, where I would like to try to cast my vote. Since I unfortunately cannot participate in the current elections with my current status. This initiative invites migrants who don't have a German passport to vote symbolically. In the polling station, Khaled is allowed to vote directly, without an identity card or residence papers. But back to Bakri. How did his first time voting go? My first time voting was really a very nice experience. I live in this country. My family lives in this country. My children will live in this country. I hope with this election we will change our future for the better. Bakri also hopes one day residents without German citizenship will help influence political decisions.
Let's take a look now at some other stories making news around the world at this hour. A car bomb has killed at least 8 people and injured 9 others in the capital of Somalia, Mogadishu. Islamist terrorist group Al-Shabaab has claimed responsibility for the suicide bombing, which took place just meters away from the presidential palace. The Hong Kong pro-democracy group that organized annual vigils commemorating the victims of Beijing's Tiananmen Square crackdown will disband. The Democracy Group is the latest of dozens of civil society bodies to fold over the past year after Beijing imposed a sweeping national security law in the city. 2 Canadians have been released from Chinese detention and are heading home after a deal with U.S. authorities to free a top Chinese executive arrested in Canada. Meng Wanzhao, the chief financial officer of China's Huawei telecoms giant, was detained in Canada in 2018 on charges of violating U.S. sanctions on Iran. Weeks later, Beijing detained 2 Canadian citizens in China in what was seen as an act of retaliation. The case sparked wide-ranging diplomatic and trade tensions.
It's been over 3 years, but now Meng Wanzhao is finally returning home. The Huawei executive struck a deal with US prosecutors to end the bank fraud case against her. A Canadian judge on Friday signed her order of discharge, freeing her from house arrest.
Over the past 3 years, my life has been turned upside down. It was a disruptive time for me as a mother, a wife, and a company executive. But I believe every cloud has a silver lining. It really was an invaluable experience in my life.
The chief financial executive and daughter of Huawei founder Ren Zhengfei was arrested in 2018 in Canada at the request of the US. American prosecutors accused her of bank fraud and sanction busting and wanted to extradite her to the US. Meng spent the last 2 years on bail in her Vancouver home fighting the extradition charges. Her arrest came amid growing concerns over the Chinese tech giant Huawei. Security hawks in Washington have been worried about Chinese eavesdropping on Western networks. And Huawei is also seen as a strategic threat to U.S. tech dominance. Meng's arrest put another dent in already strained relations between the U.S. and China, but it also impacted ties with Canada. Shortly after Meng was taken into custody, two Canadian citizens were detained in Beijing over spying charges, a move seen by many as retaliation for Canada's role in arresting Meng. Hours after she was released, Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau announced the two Canadians had also been set free by China.
Days and weeks. But the fact of the matter is, I know Canadians will be incredibly happy to know right now, this Friday night, Michael Kovrig and Michael Spavor are on a plane and they're coming home.
These developments could be a sign that the relationship between the US and China is taking a turn for the better. But while one dispute has been resolved, many more issues between the two superpowers remain outstanding.
A makeshift migrant camp under a bridge in the Texas border town of Del Rio has been cleared. Up to 15,000 people, the majority of them Haitians, live there for days in squalid conditions. Another camp on the Mexican side of the border has also been dismantled. Most of the migrants have an uncertain future ahead.
From this 6 days ago to this late on Friday, the crowds of migrants have vanished from Texas's border with Mexico. The cleanup of the area could begin after Mexican authorities convinced a final group to leave.
We have mattresses prepared for you to sleep on, and we're guaranteeing that no one will hassle you, no one will inconvenience you.
Some of the Haitian migrants moved back from the frontier to an improvised shelter in the Mexican border city. Local authorities promised their refugee claims will be processed in this country, but many people remain skeptical.
We've just arrived here and we don't know what will happen to us.
Just as uncertain, the fate of the Haitians on the other side of the border. This group has been brought to frontier town Del Rio, Texas. Many will face immigration court hearings. Some Americans are prepared to welcome them regardless.
We have so much, and I just give them a little hand, let them take help with their first step, and like a little child, next time you see them, they'll be running.
Controversially, the US and Mexico have also both deported Haitians home from the border. This group's belongings dumped on the runway. Scenes like this caused the US's envoy to Haiti to resign in protest on Thursday.
I'm not a criminal. My only crime was to want to live. I didn't want to have to risk my life for 8 days in the wilderness to reach the United States.
Both the US and Mexico maintain they had to stem the crowds of migrants on the border. The US says the mass arrivals posed a health risk during the pandemic. But the Border Patrol's response has caused widespread outrage. Images of agents on horseback confronting migrants have shocked many Americans. The White House is pledging an investigation and consequences.
And a reminder of the top story we're following for you. German Chancellor Angela Merkel has joined her would-be conservative successor Armin Laschet on the last day of election campaigning. Opinion polls show Laschet in a tight race, trailing Olaf Scholz and the center-left Social Democrats. You're watching DW News live from Berlin. There's more news right around the corner in 45 minutes.